My name is Susan Job. I'm 46 years old. Today is February 14th, 2019. I'm speaking with Mr. James McGraw, who is an Army veteran, and we're recording this interview in Valonia, Arkansas. Okay, so talk to me about where you served during the war.
Well, I wasn't in during the war. It was Cold War.
Yeah, I knew that. I apologize.
Well, I was airborne for a little over a year.
Okay.
And did some several things there, but then, and actually part of that was two months in Alaska. They made us a special cold weather training specialist, and we went up there for 2 months and lived in a tent. And it's January and February of '59. Which is just when they got statehood.
Okay.
Our statehood started in January, I think the 2nd or 3rd, which is when we got there. And after we got back from that, I got taken off of jump status and sent to Korea for a year. So I was over there, and it was kind of strange because I was sent as far north as the Army had anybody then at that point, to a place called Camp Kaiser. And so he was up there, and after about 3 months, I went to work, and it was in an artillery unit. I went to school to learn to aim the mortars. And I come back, and he tapped me to go work in the PX. So I was the cashier in the PX for 6 months on special duty, which means I sat there and counted the money and made mm-hmm. the bank deposits mm-hmm. and did that, carried my own hours and everything like that. But this unit I was in, the whole post there, they were saying, you know, if the Chinese ever come over the hill, and they were just on the other side of the DMZ from us, which is over the hill, if they ever did come over the hill, the job there was to hold them for 24 hours. You're going to get annihilated, but hold them for that long until they can run more troops into mm-hmm. southern part of Korea. Except me. Now, my orders were different. Mine was, since you were the cashier, you grab all the money in the PX and you go south as far as you can, as fast as you can, any way you can. Which means I grab the money and run.
Yeah.
I was the only one in the whole post that was supposed to survive
right.
if they did come. We had some alerts and things like that mm-hmm. while I was there, but that was more like, well, one time the Chinese crossed into India, crossed the border. And we got on a red alert and got our equipment and our rifles and sat there waiting for the plane to come get us. And then the Chinese backed off, and within 24 hours it was straightened out. Things like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was just being there and being ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I very seldom left the post if I didn't have to.
And tell us again, how long were you in Korea?
A year.
A year.
Actually, their tours there at that time was for 13 months. But it's not counted from the time you left the States until you got back to the States. So if you went by ship, which I did out of Seattle, then it's 2 weeks to get over there. You were there a year, and then you had 2 weeks on a ship coming back to make the 13 months.
Okay.
And when I come back, I only had a short time, and they just went ahead and let me out.
Talk to us about being on the ship. What was that like?
It was two different ships. One was run by the Navy, the other was run by the Merchant Marine, and there's a world of difference in them. Everybody had to have a job on the ship. Going over, we had a crew to clean one stairwell, or they call ladders, they don't call them stairs, but that's what it was. And that was all we had, a whole job the whole time. Was every morning get up, make sure it was clean, and they would come by and inspect and make everything close. But everything was real ship shape, all that, good food, everything like that. Mm-hmm. Coming back, the food was terrible. The best meal I had was after we tied up in Oakland, and I was on guard duty coming back. And so the guards, they opened a few cans of cold pork and beans and dumped them out, and that was the best meal I had on the ship coming back.
Is there anyone that you served with that you remember fondly, and can you tell us about them?
There was a lot of them. That's one of the things. I met a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
We had people, especially, well, Fort Bragg, we had people, like we had a professional boxer, two different states, gold glove champions, two professional baseball players. We had a fellow that had been in the Adolf Hitler Youth as a child. We had one fellow that was a escapee from the Russian, Hungarian uprising against Russia. He'd been a Hungarian officer. He fought his way out and joined us to, because he wanted to kill more Russians, so he said. And there's people like that, and also in Korea, I met a few more like that. And I was in at a time while still meeting a lot of World War II veterans of making a career of the Army, Korean veterans and things like that, plus these other people coming in from other nations. Mm-hmm. We had one in Korea that had been an officer in the Colombian Army, and he was becoming an American citizen because he married an American girl. And but his whole unit got wiped out in Korea. He got his leg almost blown off, and he said only a Swedish medical team found him and got to save his leg.
Wow.
But he had been an officer in the Colombian group in Korea at the time, and several people like that, plus the old Koreans and the things like that we met. There at Bragg, we did have, you had one full-blooded Indian, Cherokee. We had, let's see, who else was there? We had one guy, his girlfriend was on television all the time. She was the oldest of the Lennon sisters.
Oh, wow.
So he finally married her, still married to her,
huh.
All this time later. But we got to tease him a lot, but he took it well.
Well, so what, tell us what serving in the military, that experience, what did you learn about yourself through that experience?
Well, nothing I didn't expect, that, you know, but I can do just what I put my mind to. That was a big challenge, you know, jumping out of an airplane. But I got through that all right. But I learned, you know, to be pretty serious about, I need to find a way to make a living and get my life together and not be too carefree and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I did learn self-discipline and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the most important lessons that you've learned in life in general?
Well, like I say, self-discipline. I hate to commit to something and have to break a commitment. Mm-hmm. So I always try to be careful about what I commit to and always follow through on it. I learned to take care of what I've got, my equipment, my clothing, and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I've learned to try to be very punctual, things like that, and keep my word.
Okay. So tell us, what does being a veteran mean to you?
Well, one thing, I get to hang out with a lot of other veterans because I admire them. Mm-hmm. I know what they've gone through, a lot of them, and you know, known people like them as well. And so it's a special camaraderie, getting together, you know, real brotherhood type thing. And in fact, I've volunteered here at the museum for about half a dozen years.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. So just things in general.
Yeah. So what are you most grateful for
God.
In your life? Okay. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I was grown, married, and had three children before I came to the Lord. But I always tried to live, you know, a good life and all that. I thought I was a real good person. But that's very important to me now. And there's my family and my country. I'm still saying I took that oath and I still stand by it. And but then not just my country, but the whole world. But I want my country to be the example for the others to follow.
Okay, and what would you like to be remembered for?
Just mostly be remembered. I was just thinking, you know, well, geez, how much longer do I want to live? You know, my grandson, my only grandson, is, well, he'll be seven next month. You know, I say, well, when he gets to be 10, he'll be old enough to really have, you know, strong memories. Mm-hmm. As long as somebody left, you know, that remembers me, I'm not really gone, completely gone. So I was kind of looking at him, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I need another, you know, 4 or 5 years to live. But just, you know, have that somebody that's going to remember me then.
So what's his name?
His name is James Alexander McGraw.
Okay.
Actually, James Alexander Barnett McGraw. His mother put another name in there. He's a list of about the fifth J. McGraw in a row.
Okay, so let's say in 10 or 15 years, mm-hmm. what would you want him to know about your military service?
Just that it was something that was worthwhile, that it was something that was necessary, and that we were right in what we were doing. That is, you know, we maybe not everything that the government does is right. I'm not saying that. And everything we get into is not necessarily right, but we were doing what we thought was right at the time. And we were doing right by going and serving when the government asked us to. Not like some of these, like my cousin's son who went to Canada during the mm-hmm. Korean War. I think he's still up there. I hope he mm-hmm. is. I hope he hasn't come back. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we appreciate you very much for your time, and we appreciate you for your service, and thank you for visiting with us today.
Thank you for your support of
Absolutely.
The veterans.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's